Find, if you would, in your Bible tonight, a couple of places. I am going to have you turn and kind of be a little bit more topical tonight than what I would normally be. But I'd like you to find Ephesians chapter 5 in Galatians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter number 5. And it'll be our text tonight as far as leading us into the message. Ephesians chapter 5, I do believe you find, if not the key verse of the whole New Testament, I don't know one that would say or describe for us the importance in the direction and way that we are to walk and to live and to know than verse number 18. The Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I want to preach tonight and talk to you a little bit tonight on the Holy Spirit. And I really want to take you to the importance of your personal time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only your personal time as a child of God, but the powerful part of your life, the importance of it, the prosperity and blessing that God has left for us in the ministry of the Spirit of God. We're told in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, that we are to be filled. You know, and I preached this verse before, that word filled lends the idea of being controlled, turned over, yielding the keys of our life. It's the emptying of self, the filling of the Spirit of God. I have a feeling that most honest Bible Christian people live their lives, maybe not necessarily wanting to live it this way, and I'm not sure what gets us this way, but we try to live the Christian life in our own power and our own effort. And I don't know if it's schedule, it's laziness, if it's fatigue, if it's, and I use this word not as strong as it's going to sound, ignorance. It's like we have intentions, but we don't carry through on our intentions. I think if you're saved and you love the Lord, you want Him to be pleased with you. If that's true, would you say amen? Amen. And we know we need Him. But I'm not necessarily sure that we are setting aside time in our life to be victorious in our Christian walk. Paul's writing to the church here at Ephesus, and the book of Ephesians is one of the greatest books on the New Testament church you will ever find. It's just filled with power and glory. He's telling the church here the importance of being filled with the Spirit. We find in the book of Galatians, who Paul also wrote this book, in chapter number 5, one of the true blessings of our lives in learning how to be filled with the Spirit. And you find that in verse number 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." See, when I'm filled and controlled and yielded to the Spirit of God, I will walk in the Spirit. You cannot walk in the Spirit and not be filled with the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit then has tremendous authority and tremendous power in our life. Look at verse number 16. "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the," what's those four words? "Lust of the flesh." One of the greatest battles that we're battling with people, not just in our church, but in all churches, are those men and women that have suffered a hardship or an attack or a loss or a defeat when it comes to the area of the lust of our flesh. A man gets saved or a woman gets saved and they honestly come to faith in Christ. And the Spirit of God indwells them and the power of Christ transforms their life. They look back on their old sin nature and they look back at what they were and they're ashamed of that and they no longer want that and they want to go forward and they want to be right and they want to be a blessing and they want to see victory. And it's almost like in our minds they think, well, since I'm saved, I'll never have this problem with the flesh. And we kind of set this course and the course in our mind doesn't have any headwind. It doesn't have anything that's contrary to it. And we just think, well, since I'm new now, this is all going to be easy. And we get surprised real fast at the fact that even though I have the nature of Christ, my old man has been defeated. He's still there. I won't be rid of my old man until I'm glorified. And by the way, that'll be a glorious day, won't it? And so when I'm raptured and this old body's left behind and I have that new glorified body, no more will the presence of sin dwell in me. And there will be that glorification process. And so good, honest Christian people find themselves running into their flesh. And it's almost like their lambs led to the slaughter without any defense because our expectation is, well, I shouldn't run into this and I should be new. And then they get out there and they run in. And then when you do something you never dreamed you would do, it's hard to bounce back from that. It's hard to bounce back from that. I know a man that was called to preach, and I believe that God's power was all over him. And as an adult man, he molested a teenage girl and committed a crime and went to jail, should have went to jail, paid a price, and should have paid a price. But I remember him talking to me and telling me, he said, Pastor, I never dreamed that would ever happen in my life. You know, I say this to you, and sometimes I think that you don't hear me, so I've slowed myself real down tonight, so you do hear me. I am afraid of who I am apart from Jesus Christ. I'm afraid of that person. I wasn't born a Christian. I wasn't born a good boy. I try not to tell my kids too much about my past, but I was not always the saint you see before you tonight. And I know my mind, I know it the best I can. The Bible says we don't know it fully, but you let me rest on my flesh and I can do anything anybody else can do. And by the way, so can you. So what happens, Pastor? We run into people so broken, so hurting, so regretful, so ashamed and mad at themselves and not necessarily know where to go. And then this church isn't like that, but most independent fundamental Baptist churches, instead of restoring a brother, we kind of kick you when you're down. I'm glad our church doesn't kick you when you're down. We know what restoration is. And so we don't have that problem here. But you cannot know the victory that you should know in your Christian life unless you are filled with the Spirit of God every day. It has to become a priority to you. In the Bible, you learn a lot about God the Father and God the Son through their names. In the Bible, names mean things. And you could preach a million messages on the name of God. But I also find in the Bible that the Holy Spirit has names in which he goes by. And they're titles that he has addressed. And each one of them reveal his character of who he is and the ministry that he is able to perform and what he wishes to perfect in our hearts. Understand, God the Father God the Son is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Spirit of God is the muscle of God. He's the power of God. He is the indweller of us. He is the sealer of us. He's the keeper of our souls. And so there's tremendous victory in understanding the responsibility the Spirit of God has in your life. And so when I'm filled with the Spirit of God on a daily basis, that enables Him to work in and through me His character. I become like Him. I yield my will to Him. He fills me with God's will and then manifests and works in me in that character. And then He is able to perfect in my life the beauty of Christ. And by the way, Jesus is beautiful. He's beautiful. Sometimes I see that work of Christ demonstrated in people's lives, and you just stand back and you think, man, that's beautiful. I have seen somebody, I'm reminded of a person I was working with, and somebody had stolen a lot of money, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars from them. And I'll never forget how they had forgiveness in their heart. And I was there when they issued that forgiveness for that person. And man, I sat back and I thought, only the beauty of Christ can give you that kind of forgiveness. And so the Spirit of God desires to do that. And I have about 10 things. I'll never finish them tonight. But I'm going to start and walk you through some titles of the Spirit of God so that it will whet your appetite and draw you to the understanding that I need to be filled with the Spirit of God on a daily basis. Begin, if you would, in John chapter 14, verse number 17. Let me show you how this comes together. We're going to flip around and just be patient and look and read it. I beg you to read it. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, go to chapter 14. One of the marvelous chapters of the Bible. And you know that Jesus here is announcing the coming of the Spirit of God. He's announcing heaven. He's announcing all of that. Look at verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. That's capital C. That's direct reference to the Holy Spirit. That he may abide with you forever. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. Even the Spirit of what, class? Truth. So one of the names of the Spirit of God and a description of His beautiful God character is that He is the Spirit of truth. How valuable is truth? If you go on in that verse, it says, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, that's because they don't see him with faith, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he, what's the rest of that? Dwelleth with you, and shall be where, class? In you. So if I'm saved and I've trusted Christ, the Spirit of God has indwelt me, he's in me, and he is the Spirit of truth. Now, how does that relate to us, Pastor? Well, he goes on in later in other verses to talk about how he will guide you into all truth. And he will lead us into that truth. I have found this. When you're steadfast upon the truth, it's harder for you to be deceived. See, when I have the truth, you're not going to deceive me. Now, if I question the truth, I may open up my mind for deception. If I'm not able to communicate truth, and you can communicate a position different, then I can be deceived. But it's not God's plan, nor His desire, nor His will, that His people are deceived. So, where does truth come from? Where do we find truth? in the Word of God. So the days that I'm filled with the Spirit of God, then I could also say I'm filled with truth. The days you get up out of bed and you don't allow yourself to empty yourself to be filled with the Spirit of God, those are days that you leave without the truth. So no wonder we get out in the midst of life and we're so easily deceived, so easily pricked in our thinking, so defenseless we are, so void of any answer or power or response to questions. And I get out here and I'm not filled with the Spirit of God, so I don't have the Spirit of truth that's leading me, and then I'm open for deception. Be not deceived. Do not deceive yourselves. We're to know about every wind, not be little children, carried about with every wind of doctrine. God wants for you to know truth, not to be deceived. Many good Christian people have been torn apart because they were deceived, simply deceived. Well, Pastor, how do I prevent that? Then I'm Spirit-filled. Then when I'm filled with the Spirit of God and I run into error, oh man, I'm pricked in that. I can see that. I'm sensitive to that. And I'm leaning on Him to guide me into all truth. But if I don't let Him guide me into all truth, then I'm just leaning on my own understanding. And let me tell you something. I'm probably the smartest guy in this room. I would say amen to that. I vote for that. And of course, that's a lie. None of us can lean on our own understanding. You lean on your own understanding, you'll take your neighbor's wife. You'll steal from a man. You lean on our fleshly mindset, you cannot trust it. You'll do things you never dreamed you would do. Maybe not immediately, but you're open for deception. By the way, who's the father of all lies? Satan is. So one of the things I need you to understand is you cannot afford to get up tomorrow morning and not be filled with the Spirit of truth. Amen? Number two, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. At this rate, we're only going to get three of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul here is talking about the ministry that he has. He's talking about what we have in God who brought us out of darkness and into light, and the treasure we have in earthen vessels. And you come down here to verse number 13, and he says, we, that's you and I, brother, having the same spirit of what? Faith. So the Holy Spirit is not only the Spirit of truth, He's also the Spirit of faith. And you think about the Spirit of faith, and you think about the fact that just the way truth doesn't allow me to be deceived, the Spirit of faith doesn't allow me to be discouraged. So many of God's people get so discouraged because the way is hard, or the way is long, or the way is treacherous, or things didn't work out the way that we thought they should, or the way that we didn't see those things. Man, you go to Hebrews chapter 11, and it says, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, they accomplish those things. See, when you're not filled with the Spirit of God, then I'm not filled with the Spirit of faith. Does that mean I don't have faith? Yeah, you have saving faith. Does that mean that I may not appreciate or love or know faith? No, it doesn't mean those at all. But it means that faith is not leading you. Faith is not in control of you. Now, I don't need faith to be in control of me. I'm in control of me. Well, listen, we weren't born with the sense of faith. We lost that when sin entered in the world. We're born with our five senses, and then we get saved, we get the sense of faith. But you can't trust your flesh to stand in faith. Your flesh will run from faith every time. So when I'm filled with the Spirit of God and I leave the house in the morning, I leave in the spirit of faith, and I will not be discouraged. The way can be hard, the way can be whatever it is, but I've got the promise of God. I've got the Word of God. I've got the unction of the Spirit of God in me driving me
for faith. Have you ever been in a situation and your mind gets afraid, but all of a sudden you feel faith reaching out from within your heart? You just say, maybe you ever had that. And you're like, I should be afraid right now, Pastor, but I'm not afraid. Yeah, that's what God does for us. But if I don't take time to be filled with the Spirit so I can walk in the Spirit, so I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, I don't have the spirit of faith that day. And so many of God's people get discouraged so easy. Listen, if you begin to look at the world with your human eye, there's only one thing you're going to come across, and that's fear. That's why you need the spirit of faith. All right, so we have the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. I want you to see this one. This is a marvelous one here. Hebrews chapter 10. Look, if you would, in verse number 29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the spirit of what? Grace. So he's called the spirit of truth, John 14, 17. The spirit of faith, 2 Corinthians 4, 13. The spirit of truth, I'm not deceived. The spirit of faith, I'm not discouraged. The spirit of grace is I'm not disgruntled. I'm not disgruntled. You know, you ever run into a disgruntled Christian? That's an attractive thing right there, I'll tell you. You never forget running into a disgruntled Christian. It will so impress your mind, you will always remember the day. And then every time you come into the church, you're like, that guy's a little bit hard right there. That guy's a little bit disgruntled. See, the spirit of grace enables me to be patient, enables me to be at peace. Grace and peace. You do not have peace without grace. And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of grace. How do you normally know if somebody is disgruntled? What gives it away? They're what? Colossians chapter 4. Hold your hand here. Go there. This is a great verse here. Colossians chapter 4. Look, if you would, at verse number six, Colossians 4, 6. Let your, what class? Speech be always with what? Grace. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. See, normally you can tell somebody's disgruntled by the way they talk, by their words. Did you know that your words are to be measured with grace? So let's be real careful about this, and let's get some understanding. How many husbands in this room have ever crushed your wife with your words? Yeah, I'm not raising my hand. You raise yours if you want to. How many wives have ever crushed their children, or moms have crushed their children with your words? See, you really can't take words back. It takes a lot of forgiveness for God to take, for words to be taken back. Words hurt, man. They mean things. And so here's somebody who loves the Lord, but they're not filled with the Spirit of God. So they walk out with their tongue unbridled. James says it sets on course the nature of hell. You cannot trust your tongue. And so if I'm not filled with the Spirit of God, then my tongue is loose. And my tongue begins to declare things that come from where? Heart. So if there's disgruntledness down in there, and there's not the filling of the Spirit with the Spirit of grace, then my words become sharp. So what's your responsibility? Your responsibility is to be filled with the Spirit of God so you have the Spirit of grace, so you're not disgruntled, and so your words are like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. By the way, a word fitly spoken, how dear and how precious it is. How many Christians have had their throat slit by somebody's words? Man, what's the problem? Pastor, we can't get along. Pastor, we're sharp with our words. It's because you're not filled with the Spirit of grace. Pastor, it seems like we always say the wrong thing. Well, it's because you're not filled with the Spirit of God. Pastor, it always seems like there's just conflict and there's disgruntledness. Yeah, because he's the Spirit of grace and I must be filled with him so I can walk in that. So when my flesh rises up, grace calms me down, enables me to be a blessing. Spirit of truth, I won't be deceived. Spirit of faith, I won't be discouraged. The Spirit of grace, I won't be disgruntled. Let me give you one more. We'll be done. Go to Romans chapter 1. Go back to the book of Romans. Your Bible should open to the book of Romans. All you should do is just turn it upside down and it should go there. All right, Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse number 4. Well, go to verse 3. And concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of what? Holiness. See, the Spirit of God also is the Spirit of holiness. When I'm filled with the Spirit of God and he is filling me with his character and working and perfecting in my heart his heart, then there will be the Spirit of holiness in my life and I won't be defiled. I won't be defiled. Walk in the Spirit so you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We get it backwards. Some churches want to teach you, don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and you will walk in the Spirit. So they tell you, here's what you do. Do, and don't. And if you do and you don't do these things, then you will be know what it is to walk in the Spirit. The problem is they don't know their Bible from their left hand. The Bible doesn't say, don't do these things, and then you'll walk in the Spirit. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill these things. Nobody in this room can control his own nature. You can't control your own flesh. And you may be able to subside it for a little while, but man, it takes the hand of God. And so as I'm filled with the Spirit of God, who's the Spirit of holiness, and I learn to walk in that Spirit, then holiness becomes the measure of my life. And holiness becomes the beauty of my life. Holiness becomes the theme of my life. It's not now where I want to be in those things. Now I want holiness. And the pressure of trying to hold on to those things is now relieved because I know I can't do that, but the Spirit of God can. And so I yield to him. Now the days I'm not filled with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of holiness, then boy, oh boy, I can be defiled. I can be defiled in my mind. I can be defiled in my relationships. I can be defiled in many areas of business or many different things. And listen, I'm afraid to be in that position. But God's people, for some reason, we don't take the time to understand that Jesus Christ is our life. He's all we got. And the importance of being filled with the Spirit. Spirit of truth, faith, grace, and holiness. I want to tell you a little illustration. I remember Brother Williamson, and I'm done, you can close your Bible. The pastor that I trained under for 11 years, he used to, he would preach and he would make fun of a lot of the things I do. And I think he did it on purpose. I'm not bitter. I'm just struggling. That makes you sound better. I'm struggling. I'm really bitter. No. he would get up here and he would bear open all my hobbies. And he would say, you guys got time to go fishing. You got time to play golf. You got time to play basketball. You got time to do this. And you got time to do this. And yet you won't spend time with the Lord. And you know, I used to sit there and I used to get angry at that. And I used to think, well, how dare you pick on those things, man? And I could almost begin to take an opposite opinion of that. But he was right. He was right. One day I walked into his office and I had just preached a message. And if you've ever preached a message, you can know when you preach with God's power and you can know when you don't have God's power. I can preach one or two messages in my own ability and you may not know it. I can preach more than one or two. You'll know it. And I walked in one day and I sat down in this chair and I said, I don't know that I want to keep doing this. He said, what are you talking about? I said, I feel fake. And he was not the most sensitive man, let me tell you. Still not, is he? He said, because you are fake. I thought, He was right. He said, Tom, your problem is you're very talented. I said, what do you mean? He says, you're a nice guy. You've got a good sense of humor. You can carry conversations. You can do things. He said, but all of those things won't bring God's blessing or God's power. And you've come to the place now where you've been exposed. He said, now the mercy of God was you weren't exposed publicly. You were exposed to your own self. I thought, man. And he began to say, you ever read Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18? I said, yeah. He said, no, you haven't. Don't lie to me, son. I said, I've read it. Go back and read it. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I learned a great lesson in that. I love to hunt. I love to fish. I love to golf. I'll do any of that all the time. But those things now have a value down here. Being filled with the Spirit of God is the desire of my life. Changed my life. You guys can do all you want to do. And you ladies can be as busy as you want to do. But don't you get tired of feeling fake? It's a hard place to be. And you get to where you do get deceived. You do get discouraged. You are disgruntled, but you're kind of hiding it. And not very long, you get defiled. It ain't very long, and you think, how in the world did I ever get here? Because you hear what the preacher says, but you don't take it to heart. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit of God. How does that happen, Pastor? Takes time, takes initiative, takes getting up out of bed. It takes you consciously saying, I surrender my life today. I empty me of myself, my dreams, my ambitions, my everything. Lord, all I want today is for you to fill me and use me and guide me. Now I'm going to work, Lord. You do what you want to do. And when you turn your life over on that aspect and you begin to go, let me tell you, you have days you never dreamed you would have. People know. The big thing is you know. What happens to the Christian is we sit in that pew and we're fine on the outside, but if we feel fake on the inside, we have wars. You don't sleep at night. You're insecure. You feel like going forward. You don't feel like going forward. You see these kind of things, and you never get that steadfast peace that I'm where I need to be. Pastor, how do you know us so well? Because I was there. And I was there until I learned what it was to walk in the Spirit of God. If you love the Lord, say amen. He loves you. He loves you. Spend some time with him. Shall we pray?